Now, there are three questions which can be raised in respect of Sankhya. What is the nature of Purusha and what is the nature of Prakriti? The answer of Sankhya is, Purusha by nature is completely immobile. And Prakriti by nature is completely mobile. Secondly, mobility and immobility have no relationship with each other. What is immobile is immobile, what is mobile is mobile. Thirdly, that which is immobile is completely conscious. And that which is mobile, that is dynamic, is completely unconscious. Prakriti does not know itself. It is unconscious. Purusha knows itself, but knows itself only as conscious. Conscious immobility is Purusha. Unconscious movement is Prakriti. Now these are the premises of Sankhya. Then the question is, if Purusha is immobile, how does it glance at Prakriti? Glancing is an activity. So if Purusha was completely immobile, the question of glancing of Purusha would not arise. This is the first contradiction in the Sankhya. Secondly, if Prakriti is completely different from Purusha, why should Purusha's glancing move Prakriti? He's unconscious. Why should its movement depend upon Purusha if it is independent of Purusha? Next, if Purusha is conscious, is conscious of what? If it has no connection with Prakriti at all, surely it cannot know Prakriti. It can know only itself, immobility. How does it know mobility at all? And then, how does it happen that Purusha forgets itself? If Purusha is a pure mass of consciousness, from where does forgetting arise? Forgetting means some kind of absence of consciousness. But if its very nature is mass of consciousness, how does it happen to forget? And not only forget, it forgets itself to such an extent it becomes identified with Prakriti. If it is completely different from Prakriti, how does it get even identified with it? Now these questions are not answered in Sankhya. That is why Sankhya's account of the whole process is incomplete or inadequate. Now you look at the other side. If Purusha is really independent of Prakriti, why should the liberation of Purusha depend upon the development of Prakriti to such an extent that the buddhi should get completely purified, should become like a mirror? Why should Purusha's freedom from Prakriti depend so much upon Prakriti? So this question also is not answered in the Sankhya. So one feels that there is something inadequate and we need to find out something much more formidable, something which is a real secret. One of the questions that Shankara raises, how can there be two independent existences at all? Purusha and Prakriti are two ultimate existences. But both are existence. Therefore they must be common as far as the existence is concerned. Therefore this idea of two ultimate entities is not sustainable. Both are existence. So as far as existence is concerned, they must be the same. The common element, both are existence. What is it that makes existence existent? In there can't be difference. If both are existence, they are in common as far as existence is concerned. So ultimate existence must be only one according to Shankara. There can't be two. Now, if there is only one existent and only one reality, not two realities, then the question is that reality immobile? What is the nature of existence? Immobile or mobile? Now his analysis is, it must be immobile, because all mobility implies imperfection. It moves towards something else so as to become more than before. Therefore its present condition must be imperfect. Therefore only it can move forward to be what it is not, to become what it is not. But what is not is not. To become what is not, that means that there is something like is not. Now is not is a self-contradiction as far as existence is concerned. Therefore existence must be of such a nature that it cannot move towards that which is not. Therefore the ultimate reality must be immobile. And that immobility is conscious, completely conscious. Now this is the line of reasoning in Shankara.
Uncle, I've missed one line in between. I've not understood. To become what it is not is a self-contradiction, because
is not does not exist.
So existence should be of the nature that?
That is not moving towards non-existent.
So
it must be mobile.
But we are talking of Shankara's philosophy.
Shankara's, yes. According to Shankara, the movement does not exist actually.
That is mithya.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right. Movement does not exist.
That is mithya. So movement, the word.
Yes, that I am coming afterwards. At the present moment, only this much. The becoming does not exist.
There is only being.
Only being.
And he proves it in this manner.
This is the argument.
This is the argument.
Existence is existence.
Huh. And when you try to become something.
Yes, so that means that you are moving towards non-existence.
That which you are not.
Which you are not. Or which is not. Huh. Is not, never exists.
Huh. Okay.
Is not.
Because there is existence.
Is not, is that which does not exist. What is the meaning of is not, which does not exist?
Okay.
Right. So is not does not exist.
So all movement does not exist. There's only an illusion.
That afterwards. Okay. Logically, these are the steps.